Terry, appreciate you being here this morning. To you that are a visitor and to you that is a member, appreciate you choosing our church this morning. There's about 5 billion churches that you could choose to go to, and you've chose this one. And so I'm honored with that, and I say thank you for being here. May the Lord bless you. If you have your Bibles, like if you turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we'll begin reading in verse 39 in Luke chapter 23. I want to preach on a subject today. Easter is canceled. Easter is canceled. Let's stand. After you get over the shock of the title. Easter canceled. Here in chapter 23 and verse 39. We'll read down to verse 43, and we will include other passages, but we'll begin right here. It says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying," this is an important phrase, "if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath nothing amiss." He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we've I thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the truth that's already been given to us in Sunday school. Father, thank you for the songs that we're able to sing, the gifts that we're able to give, the fellowship that we're able to have. Father, it's just already been good. Lord, if you do no more, Father, than what you've already done this morning in my heart, God, I'd be well satisfied with Jesus. And so, Lord, we pray today, God, that you do save a soul. Change a heart, change a life. I pray for these young people we have here this morning. I pray you grip their hearts. I pray you get a hold of their minds. I pray this morning, dear God, that you bring a great conviction upon their hearts. I pray you save, dear God, our young people today for the future that's beyond us. And God, I pray, God, that you start today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Easter canceled. I know that's alarming. I know that's probably saying, brother, that's just not how you start out at what we call Easter service, a service that we would come and to listen about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior this morning. But let me give you a few things and kind of give you my thought of why we're going in this direction. Have you ever heard of Buddhist before, the Buddhism? It is the fourth largest religion in the world. It contains 7% of the world's population. And the fourth largest religion in the world, 7% of the world's population, we have 7.4 billion people. 7% of those are Buddhist. Buddhists don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard of this one? Hinduism. The Hindus. The Hindus is the third largest religion in the world. It takes up 15% of the world's population of 7.4 billion people. They don't believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've heard of this religion, Islam. Islam is the second largest religion in all the world. It contains 24%, a quarter of all the people of 7.4 billion, and they don't believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The number one religion that is Christianity, here this morning, and Christianity is 33% of the world's population. Judaism, you might have heard of that before, is only 0.2% of the whole world. They're the smallest group that you have. But that group does not believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we take this morning with that thought that the only group or the only religion that has any belief in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is Christians. And they are only 33% of all the world. That leaves 67% of the whole world that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ has rose bodily. Easter canceled? We find that within this 33% of these Christians that believe that Jesus Christ has resurrected is including people such as the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Unitarians. Of those people, they don't believe in the resurrection of the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the 33%, which they are including in that, those don't. That leaves this morning 66% of the 33% of Christians, they say, they only believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that out of the Christians this morning, only there's 20% of the Christians that don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's out of the 33%, there's 20% of those who don't believe at all. There's a 14% that say they don't know. 50, you'll find a 56-57%. They don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. 33% of so-called Christians and 30% of those don't even believe Jesus is God. There's only 33% of the world that believes that Jesus has resurrected. 30% out of that 33 says Jesus is not God. Jesus cannot raise from the dead if he's not God. We find that for the first time in history, there is less people going to church than ever before. 47%. 24% don't even believe that the Word of God is literal. Easter canceled. If you don't believe the Word of God is literal, you can't believe Jesus resurrected. If you don't believe Jesus is God, you can't believe Jesus resurrected. We're getting down to the very, very minimum of who really believes that Jesus Christ has bodily resurrected, and it's not many of us. Today they call it Easter. Today 21.6 billion people will be celebrating Easter. And remember, there's only 33% only believe it. That's 21.6 billion people are going to be celebrating. The $3 billion will be spent, I'm sorry, 21%, $21.6 billion will be spent on Easter today. $3 billion will be spent on candy. $49,000 will be spent on the high-end chocolate Easter bunny. $3.6 billion will be sold on clothing. $6.3 billion will be sold on food. $3.7 be spent on billion on gifts. There will be 91 million chocolate bunnies sold. There will be 16 million jelly beans sold. 77% of the people today will celebrate Easter. Remember, 33% only believe that Jesus resurrected bodily. 30% said Jesus is not God. 24% said that the Bible is not true and not literal. The cancel culture has canceled the true meaning of Easter. The cancel culture has canceled the resurrection in Easter. It's everything about bunnies. It's everything about eggs. It's everything about clothes and food. It's everything about everything, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not even talked about. It's not even dealt with. It's not even the subject of today. Can I say with you this morning that Easter, the resurrection, has been canceled? The majority of the people don't believe Jesus was God, that He became flesh, that He died for our sins, He was buried, He rose bodily on the third day. They don't believe that. So if the majority of the people are right, the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims, the atheists, and all others of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists and Unitarians, if they are right, and that's the majority of the people, 67% of all the world's population, if they're right, now my point number one is this, then the Savior is erased. If they're right that Jesus did not bodily resurrect, then the Savior has been erased. You say, what do you mean being erased? Well, we have witnesses this morning that has seen the birth of Jesus. Witnesses. They were there whenever He was born. So there were witnesses there. We have also witnesses that have seen the life of Jesus. They were there. They seen Him walk. They seen Him talk. They seen Him perform miracles. They seen Him do what He did. And they seen Him live the life that He lived. We have witnesses. There is recorded witnesses of that. There are also witnesses of His death. There were people there when Jesus died. So there's people there when He was born, people witnessing when He lived, people witnessing when He was dead. But let me ask you a question. Is there anybody that you know or that you read about or that you have studied over that has saw Jesus with His physical eyes as they saw His birth, His life, and His death resurrect? Anywhere. Does the Bible teach? Does anybody say that they saw Jesus when He resurrected? What if they're right? What if Jesus didn't bodily resurrect and there was no witnesses of that? You say, well, wait a minute, Brother Larry. He died, and then they wrapped Him up and they put Him into the grave, and then when they came back, the grave was empty. Yeah, but is there a witness that He resurrected? And so we find, what if they're right? What if 67% of all 7.4 billion people on all the world today, they're saying that Jesus didn't bodily resurrect? And today we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And they say He didn't resurrect. Sound like to me it's canceled. So, Jesus was born a Savior. Jesus lived as a Savior. Jesus died as a Savior. Death was the end. Let's look at it. In Luke chapter 23, we find there in the truth of God's Word. We see in verse 32, it says, and there were also two other malefactors led with Him to be put to death. So this was the whole content of the Scripture, the whole mindset of the Romans. It was the very heart of the Jew. It was the Gentiles' desire. It was the Jews' covetousness that they wanted the Lord Jesus to be crucified. So death was on its way. And we see it right here in the Scripture. There in verse 46, the Bible says that when Jesus had cried with a loud voice and said, Father, into Thy hands I command My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Jesus died, no doubt. There's no confusion with that. When He was led to go to the cross. He was put together with two other malefactors, and all three of them died that day on that cross. And so there's no confusion. There's no debate this morning that he died. No, at all. We can't have any sort of conversation. Did Jesus die or he didn't die? No, he died. There's no conversation. Did Jesus live or didn't live? No, he lived. There's no conversation about any of that this morning. But the conversation comes, did he resurrect? And did he bodily resurrect at that? Not just his spirit resurrected and he left his body. That's another thought. That's another teaching for another day. But no, Jesus bodily resurrected. And is that true? Is that the soul? And so we find the Savior is erased because he was born a Savior. He lived a Savior. He died a Savior. But if he didn't resurrect, then he's erased as a Savior. He's removed as a Savior. He's gone, no longer to return as a Savior if he didn't resurrect. Number one this morning, concerning to the point that the Savior has been erased, if that's the case this morning, then the reason why I say that is that the Savior is erased is because there is no chosen of God. I want you to look at the scripture here in verse 35. The Bible says, "And the people stood beholding, the rulers also with them derided him." So we got people here, we got a bunch of people, we got all kinds of people. We got the people of the day, not the politicians, not those of the high in societies or even the religious group, but just people, ordinary, normal people. He said, stood there and with the rulers, so those in charge, those in authority, derided him, both of them did, and both of them are saying, the people are saying, the politicians are saying, the all of the common people and all of the people in authority are saying this. They're saying, let him, he saved others, let him save himself. Now here's another phrase I think you need to underline. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. See, if Jesus didn't resurrect from the grave, then he has been erased as the Savior because he is the chosen of God. And if he be Christ, they're not saying, hey, listen, we believe that you're Christ. No, no, no. They're saying that we don't believe that you're the Christ, the chosen of the God. And if you are the chosen of the God and you saved everybody else, well, then you save yourself. And the only way that you can save yourself is to come down off that cross. And the only way to save yourself is to get down from there and to fight whomever is trying to crucify you and to take over in the reign and the rule as you're supposed to do if you be Christ. So we find because he's the chosen of God, that word chosen of God means he's the anointed of God. That God has anointed Jesus to be Savior. God now has anointed Jesus to be Savior, but the word chosen means appointed. He has appointed Jesus to be Savior. But now he's anointed and appointed, but he has approved Jesus to be Savior. There's nobody else coming down the line. There's nobody else this morning that will be a Savior. No one else has been the chosen of God. Jesus Christ our Lord is the only chosen of God. And if he didn't resurrect from the grave, then there's no appointed, anointed, approved of God. And those now the Savior has been erased. As they say, if thou be Christ, if thou. We find, number two, the Savior is erased because there's no chosen of God. The Savior will be erased because there's absolutely no king of the Jews. Look at verse 37. Here's that little phrase again that is important. He says, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. See, they're questioning, they're doubting, they're saying, you're not who you say you are. And you, if you were who you say you were, friend, then the king of the Jews. What about the king of the Jews? Well, the king of the Jews is the king of kings. The king of the Jews is the Lord of lords. The king of the Jews is the God of gods. The king of the Jews is the all-powerful. He's all-sovereign. He's all-supreme. Matter of fact, in John 1:14, he says that he is God in the flesh. Isaiah 44, verse 6 says this. It says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel. Now, who's the King of Israel? The King of the Jew. The Bible says, in his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last, and beside me there's no God. That's what it says in Isaiah 44, referencing Jesus Christ as the King of the Jew, the King of Israel, thy Redeemer. There's none beside me. There's none of me. There's none above me. There's none beyond me. I am authority. I am all powerful. I am sovereign. If you say that I'm not the King of the Jews, well, then the Savior has been erased. Because there's no other king. There's none. We say this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that God was manifested in the flesh. And 1 Timothy 6:15 says, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Deuteronomy 10, verse 17 says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty God, and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, and taketh regard. Can I just say to you, if the King of the Jews is canceled, there's no Easter. If the chosen of God is canceled, there's no Easter. Can I say thirdly this morning, the Savior is canceled because there is no Christ. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged around on him, saying, if thou be, there's that important phrase three times in this scripture, if thou be Christ, if thou be Christ. Now they're saying that he's not Christ. Now they're saying that he's not the King of the Jews. They're saying he's not the chosen of God. If you are, well then prove it. If you are, then come down off that cross. If you are, then you won't die. If you are, you will be victorious. If you are. But can I say that the Christ here means the Savior of the world? Can I say it means the Redeemer of mankind, the Forgiver of sin, the Justifier of the just, the Lamb of God, the Deliverer of Israel? No one now is to save. No one now is to forgive. No one now can redeem. No one now can make a sacrifice. No one can reconcile to God. And no one today can believe. If Christ is canceled, there's no Easter. Amen. I'm just saying 67% of all 7.4 billion people in all the world, they say Christ isn't the chosen of God. They say Jesus is not the King of kings and the Lord of lords and the Lord of glory. They say that Jesus Christ is not the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of mankind, the reconciler unto God, the Lamb of God. They say, if that's the case this morning, the Savior has been erased. Easter, canceled. Why is there celebrations today if the resurrection is not real? Why are there so many? Let me kind of just remind you. Why is there $21.6 billion sold during Easter time? Why is there $3 billion sold on candy? Why is there $3.6 billion sold on clothing? Why is there $6.3 billion sold on food? And why $3.7 billion sold on gifts if Easter has been canceled? Do you not see something wrong? Do you not see something that it doesn't seem right? Why is there eggs? Why are we painting eggs? Why are we filling plastic eggs with candy jelly beans? Why are we having chocolate bunnies? Why are we having bunnies that are filled with paper and filled with foam? Why this morning are we going crazy spending billions of dollars on bunnies and eggs and clothing and food and all of that nature when 67% of all the world says that Jesus Christ is not the chosen of God? He's not the King of the Jew. He is not the Christ. Friend, we can't get so duped and find ourselves being so ridiculously to the place where we are accepting and swallowing every single thing that comes out today that's beyond our control and say, okay, it's okay, it's all right. It's not okay. It's not all right. Do you not understand as a Christian this morning that the world has canceled Christ, which it canceled Easter? The Savior has been erased. Number two, because the Savior has been erased, we find this morning that heaven, if the Savior has been erased, and they say that He has, then if that's true, and they're right, if the majority is right, 67%, then can I say this to you this morning, that heaven is empty? Not only has the Savior been erased, but heaven is empty. If the Savior's been erased, there's nobody in heaven. Did you know that? If Jesus is not the chosen of God, and Jesus is not the King of the Jew, and Jesus is not the Christ, and Jesus didn't bodily resurrect, there's no one in heaven. How are you going to get there? Tell me how you get to heaven. Oh, I want to go to that place, the streets of gold, the pearly gates. I want to go there and see my granddad and my grandma, my brother and sister, my little girl and boy that died at birth or died when they was young. And I just want to go to heaven with a place of rest and peace. No more sin, no more trouble, no more heartache, no more difficult. Listen, friend, if Jesus didn't resurrect bodily, there's no such thing as a heaven. And if there is a heaven, then there's nobody in it. Prove it. I'm glad you said that. The Bible says very clearly this morning, He talks about heaven, Jesus does, in the way of His conversation with this man. Verse 42, He mentions this. He says, and He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. That's heaven. So Jesus is understanding and knowing there's a heaven. Then He mentions this in verse 43. He says, Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Heaven. Heaven. The death of Jesus is soon here. The end of Jesus is near. But the truth of Jesus is clear. The thief has no hope beyond death here. The thief has no hope beyond death. The sinner has no hope beyond the grave. And the soul has no hope beyond life. As this thief is there with Jesus, if he dies in the condition he's about to die in, there's no hope for his soul, there's no hope for his life, there's no hope beyond the grave for him. We'd find and understand if the resurrection of Jesus is canceled, nobody goes to the Father. Because see, if it's canceled, that means the Savior has been erased, and that means that the Christ, the King of the Jews and the chosen of God, never did resurrect. Then in John chapter 14, turn there with me, and verse 1 is not true. That's if Jesus didn't resurrect. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get to the Father any other way but Jesus. But if Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He did not bodily resurrect, absolutely you can't even get to the Father without Jesus. There's nobody in heaven. If Easter's canceled, nobody's in heaven. Nobody is going to the Father. John chapter 10, verse 28, turn there with me. Nobody has eternal life. Nobody has eternal life. The Bible says in John chapter 10, in verse 28, he says, and this is Jesus speaking, and I give unto them. Now, who's speaking? Jesus is speaking. If Jesus is dead, he never bodily resurrected. He's still somewhere dead somewhere. He couldn't say this. He says, and I give unto them eternal life. Who gives you eternal life? Your good works? Your good membership? How good you are to the United Way, and how good you are to your neighbor and a husband and a wife and mom and a daddy. How well you give to the church and how well you live as a citizen. And all of these good works and all these things that give you great applause and give you great honor and people talk about you. How good person you are. None of those things will give you eternal life. Jesus said, I give you eternal life. He's been erased. There's nobody with eternal life. He said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which thou gave me, is greater than them all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one this morning. Not only this morning, if Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the grave, and if 67% of all 7.4 billion people are right, nobody's in heaven. Nobody can come to the Father. Nobody has eternal life. Nobody is in heaven. John 3, turn there with me. Verse 15. John 3, verse 15. Nobody's in heaven. Nobody has eternal life. Nobody is going to the Father if the resurrection of Jesus is canceled. He says in verse 15, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why would you believe on a begotten Son of God who's dead? Why would you believe this morning that you can have eternal life through a dead Savior? What makes you think this morning that you can put your trust and faith in a dead Savior and find everlasting life? It don't matter. It doesn't make sense. We find this morning that there is no kingdom of heaven and there is no paradise this morning if there's no chosen of God and there's no king and there's no Savior. You can't go to heaven because there's no way to get to heaven. You don't have eternal life because the one who gives you eternal life is dead and never resurrected. You cannot at all go to a place of paradise or the kingdom of God because the one who makes that possible and the one who brings that to pass is Jesus, and according to them, he never resurrected. They canceled. Easter's canceled. Can I say here, thirdly, not only is the Savior is erased and heaven is empty, but hell is enlarged. Heaven is empty. If Jesus Christ didn't resurrect from that grave bodily, hell is busting out of the scene. Hell is enlarged. Every single person, there's 7.4 billion people today. If they'd all die today, they'd all die and go to hell if Jesus didn't resurrect bodily. 67% of the people say that he didn't. That's scary. You see, how do you know that somebody would go to hell? Well, I appreciate you asking that too. Verse 40 of our text in Luke chapter 23, even these people had a knowledge of that. Look what he says there in verse 40, talking about then hell is enlarged. He says in verse 40, he makes this statement. He says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? The word condemnation means to be damned, means to be judged and sentenced. Even they knew that. They knew that their sins is going to bring a judgment upon them. They knew that this sins was going to bring a damnation upon them. They knew that they couldn't get away with sin. They knew that. The Bible says in verse 41, he says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." Hey, they understand that they're going to get death for what they did. They understood that they're going to face punishment for what they did. They're not arguing with that point. They're not saying that we're not going to suffer for us doing what we did. We did what we did, and we are justly are going to get the rewards for what we deserve. We deserve suffering. We deserve death. We deserve hell. That's what we deserve. They knew that. They knew the condemnation of what they did. They understood what they are and what they're doing. The verses give that clear. Now turn your Bibles to John 3:36. John 3:36. Let's just have a little Bible study real quick before we close. Because I want to show you this morning that if Easter is canceled and Jesus is erased, and that is by saying that he did not bodily resurrect from the grave, that there's now no chosen of God, there's no appointed and anointed and approved of God, there's no king of the Jew, there's no king of kings and lord of lords and the Lord of glory, the God of gods. There is no Christ, the Messiah, Christ the Savior, the Redeemer, Christ the Reconciler, Christ the Justifier, Christ the Lamb of God, Christ the Mediator between man and God, Christ the Captain of our salvation, Christ the Bishop of our souls, the Christ the Great and Chief Shepherd, Christ the Lamb of God. I can go on and on. He has now been canceled. He did not resurrect from the grave, they say. And now we find that hell is enlarged and heaven is empty. Let's look at this, if this is the case. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 36, there's no son to believe, right? If Jesus didn't resurrect, there's no one to believe. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." We'll cross that out because Jesus didn't resurrect. "He that believeth not the Son shall not see life." Well, they won't have an opportunity to see that. But what applies to those who don't believe the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is the last portion of this, and it's this: "But the wrath of God abideth on him." The wrath of God abideth on him. That's hell enlarging itself. Without the resurrection of Jesus bodily, friend, you don't have the Son to believe in. You don't have the Son to trust in. And now you must find yourself in the wrath of God. I want you to look at another one. John chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible says, "Now is there no son to believe, but there's no passing from death." The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." In other words, no, if Jesus didn't resurrect, then you don't have that to believe upon. He says, "hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation." But if you don't have Jesus to believe on, because Jesus didn't resurrect from the grave, according to 67% of all the world today, well then you find yourself in condemnation. You can't come out of condemnation. If that's the case, then you can't come out of death. But it's passed from death. It ends there. You can't go into life without Jesus. So you find yourself in a place where you're not going to pass unto life. You're going to stay in death. You're going to find yourself in the wrath of God. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. We read that this morning. We'll just read it once again. There's no life to offer. This is how you start off. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened." That word "he" means Jesus. If Jesus didn't resurrect from the grave, if everybody's right, 67% of the world says that he didn't, well then you got to just mark out, and he hath he quickened. Just put that out of your Bible, and then here's where you are. Who are dead in sin, trespasses and sins. You can't get no better than that. That's where you start. That's where you end. If Jesus Christ did not resurrect, if he's been canceled like they have canceled him, well, friend, then that's where you lie in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. You're dead in trespasses and sins, and you're not getting out. I want to look at another one. Some of y'all are not convinced. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. For those who don't believe that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead bodily, 67% of all the people, 7.4 billion, you say, "Larry, you keep on saying it because I want you to get the number." I want you to know it clearly and plain. When you leave out of here, I want 67% to just echo through your mind. 7.4 billion people, and 67% of those are saying that Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the grave bodily. That means in this verse right here, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, and you end there. Don't tell me, don't keep on going. But the gift of God is eternal. No, you don't get that far. If Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the grave bodily, and you don't believe it and trust it, and you have not put your faith in it, you have not committed to the cross, you have not been allegiant to the Jesus, you have not made it loyal to Christ, you have not repented of your sins and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you end right there. The wages of sin is death, because the Christ that you think you know has not resurrected, because he has not resurrected in your heart. You're still dead in your sins and trespasses, just like 67% of all the world is. I'll show you another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26. If Jesus did not resurrect from the grave bodily, this is where you find yourself. The Bible says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The destroyer of the last enemy is Jesus. And if you read through that scripture, you'll find, if Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, then the last enemy is still the last enemy, and that is death. You ought to be scared to death. If you have not put your trust and faith in the resurrected Savior this morning, if you have not come to the place and to put trust in all that you have within your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and you put your love in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. If you have not received the power to become a child of God because you received Christ as he is, that is the King, that is the chosen of God, that is this morning the Christ, the Savior, the Lord this morning, God in the flesh. If you have not received him this morning, and God has given you the power to become the sons of God, even to those believe this morning, you need to bow your knee and bow your heart and call out to Jesus this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If not, you'll see no hell. You'll see no heaven. And hell will be enlarged by your presence. Oh, it's very clear. Very plain. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. We'll give you the last scripture concerning this thought. The Bible says, Revelation 20 and verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's what happens when Jesus Christ has not risen from the dead. That is what happens when Jesus Christ has not risen in your heart. That is what happens when Jesus Christ is not just some figment of imagination, or that Jesus Christ is just some character in the Bible, or that Jesus Christ is just some prophet, or he's some teacher, or he's some preacher, or he's someone that does good and is doing good. No, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and Jesus Christ must be believed upon, and Jesus Christ must be received as he is, and Jesus Christ will accept no less than more this morning than all of your life. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's what he requires 100% of you. To die is to live. Oh, we find this morning, everyone dies and goes to the lake of fire if Easter is canceled. Is that right? No one's in heaven. Jesus is no longer Savior. Can I say here our last point? Then the lies have ended. Luke 18, verse 31. Turn there with me this morning. Jesus predicted that he would resurrect. Luke 18, verse 31. He took unto them the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man, shall be accomplished. Whatever is written, it will be fulfilled. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. Who delivered him? God did. And shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. The lies are now put to end here. The 67% are wrong. All other religions are wrong. Those this morning who don't believe that Jesus bodily resurrected, and those this morning who don't believe that Jesus is God, and those who don't believe that this is a literal Word of God, you've got a rude awakening. Someday's payday. Oh, can we say that Jesus predicted His resurrection? Number two, Jesus has promised that He will resurrect. Luke chapter 23. And look there in verse 43. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shall thou be with me in paradise. That's a promise that I'm resurrecting. That's a promise that I'm about to die. Oh, but listen, the same day I die, it's the same day I resurrect. The same day I say to you, hey, listen, I am alive forevermore. Hey, I say to you, today shall you be with me in paradise. Oh, no, you're not going to meet me in that cold grave. Oh, you're not going to meet me with that stone that's been cut out by man's hands and rolled over with a door there with a larger stone. You're not going to meet me there. You're going to meet me in paradise. Because I will rise from the grave. And because of that, today shall you be with me. So He's promising not only His resurrection, but He's predicting His resurrection. Hallelujah! Glory to God this morning. I was thinking a while ago, kind of piggybacking on Brother George about what he was saying concerning, he mentioned about the singing. And so I get concerned sometimes about the singing. Let me give you the thing about the singing for me is that this morning we sang a few songs that talked about the resurrection, right? And so I was figuring today that as we sang about the resurrection, there was going to be an explosion. I mean, there was going to be a celebration. He arose! I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting He arose. I wasn't expecting He arose. I was expecting He arose from the grave. I mean, I was expecting some life. I was expecting some passion. I was expecting some excitement. I was expecting some zeal. I was expecting people to come to the house of God this morning on this Easter. And then we're going to talk about Jesus who's resurrected from the grave and brought forth life. Oh, that if that life was in you, if that life was resident within you, if you were filled with Jesus and you knew the power of His resurrection, oh, that you would express that you would bring forth an expression and a manifestation that Jesus Christ not only rose on Golgotha that day, in the garden that day, but He's arose in my heart. I would have seen that, heard that, felt that this morning. Funny to me that if me and you would go to a concert and we would listen to your favorite singer, rock and roll, country, R&B, whatever it is, I will think this morning, listen to me now, I will think as you and I would go to this concert and we'd listen to this singer, I would expect the same response that I've seen this morning from you. They're up there singing, they're performing, they're doing their thing, and you're sitting in the seat going, does that seem normal? Answer's no. Little hint. Hey, you like the Astros? You like the Rockets? You like the Texans? You like the Pittsburgh Steelers? You like the Broncos? You like the Chicago Bulls? You like hockey? You like soccer? You like all that kind of stuff? Me and you going to a game. And we go to a game. And man, there's 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 people out there. And man, they're running down the court. They're running down the field, the soccer field. They're fixing to shoot. The guy gets the ball, stops it going in. And man, the people are erupting, going crazy. And you're sitting in your chair going at the game. What would you think if you was watching in those both scenarios, either at the game or the concert, and you didn't have no emotion, you didn't show any passion, you didn't show any manifestation that this game or this singer had anything to do with you within? You know what I would say to you? Why did you go? And what I'm saying to you this morning at church, you was asked to take a songbook and you didn't. You was asked to sing some songs and you didn't do that either. You was asked to participate in worshiping the resurrected Savior, singing songs about Him, and you have no interest in that. You don't care one iota whether you sing about Jesus or you sing about the devil. You don't care about this morning whether you go to heaven or you go to hell. And you don't care whether anybody else does either. You know, you walked in here this morning, you're dead as a hammer. You're cold as an ice cube. You're as hard as a piece of wood. And Jesus died on the cross for you. And Jesus resurrected so that He'd give you life. And today, we call this Easter. And we are celebrating His resurrection as we do every Sunday, celebrate His resurrection, the first day of the week. And you still don't have no, even a temperature towards God. You don't even care. Your soul, friend, is going to die and enter to a hell that's enlarging. You'll never see the presence of heaven. And you'll walk out of here as if it's not real. And you'll leave out of here as if I preached a fable or I told you a lie. God help you today. Oh, God, move in their hearts this morning. Jesus proved this morning His resurrected. He was resurrected. Let me say this and I'll close. When Jesus died, the devil celebrated. He said, I got him. When Jesus died, man determined. He's gone now. See, because if He was the chosen of God, He would have came off that cross. He didn't, though. He died on it. He's gone. If He was the King of the Jew, He'd have came down off that cross. And He would have ruled and reigned. But He didn't. If He was the Christ, He'd have came off that cross. But He didn't. So now, as far as the people looking upon Jesus, He's on that cross. He's in the middle of the two on the left, one on the left, one on the right. His head is bowed. He gave up the ghost. He's now dead. They say He's gone now. He's out of here. He wasn't what He said He was. Just like 67% of the people say today. Chapter 24, verse 1. It says, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered into the, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Uh-oh. Something went wrong. Jesus' body is missing. It's gone. Now, we had a witness of His birth. We had witnesses of His life. We had witnesses of His death, but do we have any witnesses of His resurrection? One says, yeah, I was there. Who was that? Well, let's keep reading. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid to bow down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen! We got a witness. It's a heavenly witness. It's an angel witness. It's a witness from God. It's a witness that says to all the world, oh yeah, devil, you thought you had him. Oh yeah, people, you thought you'd done away with him. Oh, but his body is gone, and I know where he went. He's arisen from the grave. He's alive forevermore. We got a witness. Woo! I wish some of you have what I had. I'm telling you, to turn your world upside down, you'd be running out of here shouting. Thank you, Lord. The angels are witnessing his body resurrected. Jesus seen after his body, he's seen after death, bodily, chapter 24, verse 30. The Bible says, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. Their eyes were open, and they knew him and vanished out of their sight. They said one to another, did our heart burn within us? While he talked with us, by the way, while he opened us up the scriptures. That's Jesus after he died, after he resurrected. Ain't that something? Well, he's proven it to us that he's alive, that he resurrected. Jesus was seen after his death bodily. Jesus was witnessing his bodily resurrection. He found that his body was gone. Then Jesus showed his body. Look in chapter 24, verse 36. As we hasten, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do you thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, but as you see me have. So, hey, he got hands, he's got feet. They said, here, touch me. Show them his hands and his feet. And they touched him, they seen him. Hey, you're alive. You're alive. He proved to him he's alive. He's alive. Sin couldn't overcome him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. Grave couldn't keep him. Satan couldn't defeat him. The world can't understand him. The armies can't remove him. Man can't silence him. New Age can't replace him. You know why? Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 says, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just say something to you this morning? The lies have ended. He has resurrected. The 67% are wrong. And when they face this risen Savior one day on judgment, they're going to finally realize, and they're going to bow their knee, and they're going to confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's resurrected. Easter canceled. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You that are sinners this morning, you that's never been born again, you're trying to cancel Jesus, but he won't be canceled. He'll be there when you go to bed tonight. He'll be there when you wake up. He'll be there throughout your day tomorrow. He'll be there at the end of your day. He'll be there when you're on your deathbed. He'll be there when you close your last time you close your eyes and you speak your last word. He's going to be there. All you got to do this morning is to trust him. All you got to do is call out to him today. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm unsaved. I can't save myself. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart and save me. I receive you as Lord and as Savior. I trust in you. On the cross of Calvary, where you shed your blood for my sin, I receive that today. You resurrected on the third day. I receive that today. You know what will happen to you? You'll become a new creature. You know what happened to you? You'll be saved. You know what happened to you? You'll become born again. You know what happened to you? You'll become a Christian. Come this morning. You can be part of the 33%, or you can be part of the 67%. Choose what part you want to be. Both can't be right. The majority is wrong. They've always been wrong. Jesus only had 12. One of those was the devil. There's only 120 in Acts chapter 1. All the thousands and maybe millions that he's talked to and told about, there's only 120. There's not many. You go to the church of Ephesus, church of Philadelphia, then in Revelation chapter 3, you say that church was a few. It's not many. They say, well, Lord, who can be saved? He said, a few. A few. So if you think the majority is right, you're wrong. The majority's never right. It's the minority. It's the few. Where do you stand? And where's your place? You sing, Brother George, and we'll close. God save this morning. Open our eyes and hearts. May we hear you today. May we hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Come, dear sinner friend. Come. Come to Jesus. You might laugh now. You might mock now. You might play now, but someday that's coming to an end. You might roll your eyes at me. You may turn your neck, your face. You might not even like me today. Someday, one day, you have to give an account of yourself before God. It's appointed a man wants to die, then after this, the judgment. No better day to be saved than this day. Easter. When do you get saved? I got saved on Easter 2021. Jesus came into my life, changed my heart. He resurrected my soul. He has been risen in my heart. Now He's my Savior, my Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's right, He lives. Thank you, Lord. That's right, Lord. Father, thank you. It's all gone. I know the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives. Tonight we'll be having a missionary from Guam. Going to Guam, so you come back and hear him. He'll be preaching and singing for us and giving his slides and his burden. It'll be exciting. So y'all come back at 6 o'clock. Amen. Let's be dismissed. Brother Charles, will you dismiss us here this morning?